let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. White Men Can't Hump by John Wooten is a book of hope. The hope is that one day black men in America will no longer be viewed as unintelligent, unattractive, undesirable, uncivilized, and just plain old worthless. White Men Can't Hump will address why black men in America are perceived in such a negative way and will also explore the origins of this negativity. White Men Can't Hump is divided into two volumes. Volume 1 focuses on how sex has historically affected race relations in America. Volume 2, it focuses on how race has affected sex relations in America. Todd was born and raised in a small town in southeastern Ohio in the 1960s and 70s, lied to get into the Marine Corps after high school. As a U.S. Marine, an airborne ranger, combat veteran, served in Beirut, Lebanon. After the Marine Corps, he served 6 years as a correctional officer for the Illinois Department of Corrections, 21 years as a firefighter paramedic in the Chicago area, retiring at the rank of captain in 2013, appointed as commissioner of fire and police in 2015, overseeing the rules, regulations, promotions, hiring, and firing of all cops and firefighters in his city. John Wooten, author of White Men Can't Hump, Volumes 1 and 2, joins us on This Week in America. Todd, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor.
It is a pleasure to have you here to talk about the book, and let's get into it with the title. As soon as you mention the title, you have people's attention. Talk about how you came up with the title, and for those that may think the title is even somewhat offensive, talk about the titling the book that way.
Well, I meant to offend, and at the particular time that I wrote this book, I was in the middle of about 10 years of serious workplace racially motivated harassment. And I mean, it pretty much it was anonymous notes, anonymous voicemails, and even letters sent to my home. And at one time, they even sent a letter to my home addressed to my 12-year-old daughter. And at that point, I realized that it was time that I needed to do something back, because I had not said anything up to that point. I hadn't reported anything that was going on. And so I just, you know, I pretty much accepted it. I had just gotten promoted to lieutenant. I was a young lieutenant, and the chief of the department tabbed me to be the head of a minority outreach program because the hiring practices in my city were notoriously corrupt, rampant nepotism and cronyism and things of that nature. And so when he tabbed me for this assignment, and I took it seriously, and we were somewhat successful, we got a few minorities to take the test and to hire. It got hired and became firefighters. And that's when I started getting the hate mail. Apparently, there were fellow firefighters, and this is really, I mean, it's really sad and it's very disappointing. There were fellow firefighters who felt like there shouldn't be a minority outreach program, and that it was, in many ways, it was reverse racism. And most of the letters and notes and things of that nature that I received, it was usually along the lines of the reason why there aren't any niggers on the job is because you're too damn dumb to read and write. And so I figured it's time to let them know that I can read and write. And that's why I wrote the book.
And that's the book.
Finish
that thought, because it's so important. Talk about that.
Well, growing up in small town Ohio in the 60s and 70s, I mean, it was rough, and the kids were rough, and a lot of the abuse that I took and the bullying that I accepted, it was racially motivated, and it was usually along the lines of dumb, nigger, and monkey, and things of that nature. And like any good student, I would run, and I would tell the teacher, and the teacher got tired of me always whining. She said, "Stop whining and call my name back." Well, I was raised by my grandparents, and I had older aunts and uncles at home. And you're talking about the early 70s. And so you've got Sanford and Son was our favorite show. And you got Richard Pryor albums constantly, you know, yes. on the, you know. And so it was very impressionable, you know, for an 8 or 9 year old to hear those kind of things. And so I've got a teacher who tells me I can call names back. And I've got mentors like Richard Pryor and Red Fox. And so that's what I did. I started calling names back. And so, I mean, once we got the pleasantries out the way and you called me the name you needed to call me, then I put everything on the table. I mean, I didn't care if Excuse me?
Yes. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't care. I didn't care if your dad had a wooden leg, if your mom had a glass eye, if your house smelled like spoiled milk, if your grandmother had rotten teeth. I put everything on the table. And eventually, you know, I mean, they started running to the teacher and crying as well. And but once they realized that I was no longer going to accept their name calling, we actually started becoming friends. And the name calling ceased. And I mean, I would get invited over to play kickball and things of that nature. So I realized that, you know, a lot of what's going on today in terms of bullying, you know, it's so much of it revolves around, you know, bullying is bad, where I've always looked at it as, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia and things of that nature that are forms of bullying. The best thing to do is find the bully's weakness and hit him back. And so once you find a bully's weakness and hit him back, you know, I mean, more often than not, you know, they'll move on. They'll leave you alone. I don't believe in that Michelle Obama nonsense about we go high when they go low. You know, in Zanesville, we grew up, and I know you've heard that old analogy about never getting in the mud with a pig.
Yes.
Because if you do, you know, both of you will get muddy and the pig will like it. Well, in Zanesville, we always said, no, you get in the mud with the pig because that's where the bacon is at. That's where the ham is at. That's where the chickens and pig feet is at. So you get in there and get it. And so being raised in that fashion, and at the same time, then becoming a United States Marine, I mean, no, I was not going to tolerate being bullied by anybody. And that's why I republished this book, because now it's more of an anti-bullying book, because even though my focus is on the individuals that were bullying me or attempting to bully me, what it does is this book provides a blueprint to where, whether it be through sarcasm, humor, or whatever, I turned it into a teachable moment. I took their ignorance and turned it into a teachable moment. And really, for the most part, it turned out to be a success.
Well, what's interesting, and with us on the program is Todd Wooten. That's Wooten. The book, White Men Can't Hump as Good as Black Men, Volume 1, Race and Sex in America, Volume 2, Sex and Race in America, book available at Amazon. The usual places, link on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly and get the information. When you take all of this, this anger that had been building up through your life, how did you take that and decide to write a book? And not only a book, it turned into two volumes, extensive research, traveling to over 50 states and talking to people from all walks of life. First of all, let's talk with the book aspect. When did you decide, I need to write a book?
I was trying to figure out how can I respond, and I did not want to be one of those people that goes running to the chief or run into the police or anything of that nature, because if anything, that would let them know that they won and that they were, you know, that they were getting to me. And at the same time, I mean, unfortunately, more often than not, you know, it's sad that these days people choose to deal with bullies through violence. And, you know, I wasn't going to take a gun to work, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I republished this book, to tell, you know, whether it be a kid or an adult, you don't have to take a gun to work or a gun to school. If somebody's hitting you with words, then hit them back. And so, I mean, unfortunately, I had an injury, and so I was off of work for a year. But fortunately, that gave me the time to do a little bit more research and to go ahead and put all my thoughts down. The reason why there are two volumes is because my publisher at that particular time stated that this book, it's a 500-page book, in hardback format, it would be $37. And so what I did is I made it two paperbacks and you know, I mean, cut the price in half is why there are two volumes. But I mean, I feel that my reply to them was proportionate. And more importantly, I mean, I felt good that I didn't have to act anonymously and I didn't have to act through violence. I mean, I put my name on my work and put it out there. So, and there are still gentlemen to this day who will not make eye contact with me. And I'm talking about former coworkers, but most of the guys understood why I did it. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, I had an idea of the group of guys that were responsible, but I could not pinpoint anybody. And so that's when I said, I'll just throw something out there, you know, a blanket thing that's going to piss everybody off. I'll be equal opportunity about it, but I'm going to be heard.
Well, yeah, and you are being heard, and you are getting people's attention, and you say very honestly, agree, disagree, whatever, keep an open mind. And that's so difficult sometimes to keep an open mind. And talk about the perception, talk about these stereotypes. When you've got to looking, I mean, some of these stereotypes that that you have to deal with go back literally centuries, don't they?
Absolutely. And these are stereotypes that were not created by black men, but they are stereotypes that going back to the slave auction blocks that were attached to black men. And we know what those stereotypes are, whether it be sexual prowess or the size of one's genitalia or things in that nature. But I mean, black men have carried a lot of those stigmas, obviously, I mean, since Africans were brought to this country. And what has happened is those things, when attached to black men, they're considered a negative, but they're considered actually positive qualities if attached to a white male. And, you know, I mean, I name numerous examples, whether it be the guy who was married to Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee, or I name numerous examples. I don't want to start drifting into a lot of the contents of the book, but there are plenty of examples where you see the disparity yourself. And when you see it in actual pop culture, then you understand how it affects people, and it affects how we treat each other and how we see each other.
Well, and you mentioned pop culture. That's interesting because you touch on BET, Black Entertainment Television. You also touch on the rap music. BET, first of all, is that sort of a showcase to show the evolution of African Americans in the country or not?
I don't know. To be honest, I mean, when I wrote the book, BET was far more popular back then, and I'm not as familiar with their programming today. It's been 10 years, but I just always thought that they did a major disservice to the black community, because you can still, I understand the money is an entertainment and the viewership is an entertainment, but you can still make the effort to educate people along the way. Yes. I mean, not everything is entertainment. And I think that that played a role in a lot of the attitudes that you have among black youth, to where you're limiting your dreams because then you think that that's all you can aspire to be is an athlete or an entertainer. You know, and you would have hoped that after the election of President Obama, some of those attitudes would have changed. But honestly, I don't think they have. And BET certainly played a role in that. And I think it's a disgrace.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I can remember the hope that when Obama was elected president, that maybe we've come a long way. Maybe we've jumped that hurdle and this is going to be a new world, new society. And you're saying what I'm feeling, I that might have even been a setback in some areas. What do you think?
Well, I think with the election of Donald Trump, I think it's easy to come to that conclusion, which yes. is another reason why I republished this book, because like I said, I feel it's an anti-bullying book. And unfortunately we have a president who is a bully. And so one of the things that I did in this book, because even though it's the same book and I changed the cover, I added a foreword. And in that foreword, I explained that our president of the United States is a bully. And our president of the United States has a weakness. And what we need to do, whatever citizens that he attacks, you know, I mean, they need to understand what that weakness is and use that weakness, because I'm very confident that they would shut him up. And that weakness is the fact that this president wants to have sex with his flesh and blood daughter. He's on the record as stating that. I mean, several times there are numerous quotes. And, you know, I mean, I've always felt, take, for example, Elizabeth Warren. He calls her Pocahontas. I've always felt that if she sat back and said, okay, Mr. President, my Native American name, according to you, is Pocahontas. Well, I think your Native American name is Pokevanka. I don't think he would call her Pocahontas anymore. Do you think he would call her Pocahontas anymore if her reply was Pocavanka every time?
Yeah, I think that would shut him up. I think there's no question about that.
I have no doubt that would shut him up, because only he hits everybody back, but there's one person that he never hit back, and that was Trevor Noah. And Trevor Noah has done a half dozen segments on this, and he calls it, and people can go to YouTube and watch for yourself, because you'll hear Donald Trump's quotes. He calls it, Donald Trump, you know, wants to bang his daughter, you know, and the quotes are just, I mean, they're disgraceful. I've looked at it from three different perspectives. As a firefighter paramedic, the things that he has said are major red flags, which is why I started doing more research. And then once you start doing research, you realize that he's been sexually objectifying his daughter for a couple decades now, since she was in her mid-teens. And I'm just wondering, I mean, are we a nation of Joe Paternos? I mean, how can people have not looked at this a little bit closer before this man was elected? Because from a national security standpoint, which is another perspective and another way that I looked at it, from a national security point of view, that could be the compromise. If he's telling everybody in broad daylight that he wants to have sex with his daughter, then what is he saying and doing in private? I mean, because I can guarantee you the Russians want to know, and they probably already know.
Oh, I would think, yes.
That could be, that could easily be what, you know, Vladimir Putin has on Donald Trump.
Well, you listen to something.
He was on The View in 2006, and he said, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her. Now, we know he's not talking about going for long romantic walks or picnics or anything like that. He's talking about having sex with his daughter.
Well, he said the same thing on the Howard Stern show. When you listen to some of those.
Howard Stern, he said in September, as late as September 2015, he said it in Rolling Stone magazine, only he said that he wasn't married. And then he said, never mind the fact that she's
then that would make it right. No. Yeah, if he's a single guy, that would make it okay. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. There's so many real important issues you deal with. And one of the things you do is take us on an educational, enlightening journey through America's past, the present, and the hope of changing things in America's future. We've got a couple minutes left in the program. The book, by the way, White Men Can't Hump As Good as Black Men, Volume 1, Race and Sex in America, Volume 2, Sex and Race in America. Todd Wooten, our guest, the author, that's Wooten. Where do you see us going?
Well, right now, the nation is obviously divided in many ways. Yes. And usually what happens, and I'm very confident that this nation always produces the right leader at the right time. And I mean, sometimes, yes, we take one step backward before we take two steps forward. But I think that eventually, and I don't know if it's in this current crop of candidates, but I think eventually we'll get a new president, and we'll at least make an attempt to return to normalcy.
The book, we put in the category of social science. Would you put that there? I mean, you've got a lot to contemplate as you read through this book, and you put everything in perspective, and you talk to so many people. I mentioned traveled 50 states in putting this together. This really is a sociology study, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's... I put it in very blunt Marine Corps terms, and so the language is a little salty, but I tried to do it in a way to where, like I said, I wanted to turn it into a teachable moment to where the entire reading experience is an enjoyment. I wanted people to laugh and have a good time as they're reading it, because in many ways we're laughing at each other, and humor has a way of bridging many of our differences as well.
It really does, and you do an excellent job in bringing that out there, giving us history, giving us a laugh or two along the way in presenting this. What has this been like for you? I mean, this is you've written two volumes of books. You have them out there now. You're talking about it, and you probably get arguments from some people. You probably get others that go, boy, I never looked at it that way before, but now I'm looking at it from a different perspective. What's this been like for you?
I continue to get more hate mail, only this time it wasn't from coworkers. It was from people who I didn't know. But I heard from a lot of people, and a lot of people reached out to me, and even the things that they disagreed with me about. I mean, what this book did is it created a discussion and a dialogue. And that's how people get to know each other. And that's how we can bridge some of our differences. I mean, by taking the time to get to know somebody, and you see that really we all want the same things in life for the most part. You know, it's just that we let petty differences like race, you know, get in the way.
Isn't it frustrating to think that, okay, we have an agreement, so somebody is going to hate me. I'm going to get hate mail because they don't agree with me. I hope that we've come beyond that, but I'm not real sure that we have.
No, we still have a long way to go, especially now with social media and internet. I mean, so much of it is done, and I call them keyboard cowards. You know, I mean, these are people who are brave, you know, when they're on their keyboard, but for the most part, you know, I mean, like I said, they're cowards.
Well, it's a work in social history, a bunch of pages, two volumes, great background information there, things that will make you think, things that will make you laugh, The book is called Why White Men Can't Hump as Good as Black Men. Volume 1, Race and Sex in America. Volume 2 is Sex and Race in America. Todd Wooten, that's W-O-O-T-E-N, is the author and our guest on the program. Book's available at Amazon, the usual places. Todd, it's gone by quickly. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I apologize for rambling. I had a lot of information I wanted to get in, but thank you so much for having me. And like I said, hey, people, you listeners out there, our president is a bully, but his weakness is the fact that he wants to have sex with his daughter. Spread the word. So then that way, hopefully, eventually, somebody can hit him back and shut him up.
And if you think that's not true, Google it, and you will get a lot of information. Sometimes Googling comes in quite handy. Todd, you didn't ramble. This was good. A lot of important points made in a short amount of time. Thank you, sir, for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Todd Wooten, our guest. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll get information on the book. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.